RiggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
All right, we are back for hour two of the game. This is going to be a pretty loaded hour. We will hear from Corey Sutton in just a moment, his side of the story. Bruce Weber at 5:25 to talk about the non-conference schedule, which has been released. We'll go with You Can't Be Serious at 5:50 as well. Keep tweeting us at the game, KMAN, or myself, JL Kurtz. If you have hashtags for Michael Bishop's campaign to get in the College Football Hall of Fame, he's on the ballot for a second straight year, so is Martin Gramatica. I'm getting some good suggestions pouring in here on Twitter. We'll go through everything I'm getting at 5:40, see if we can nail down one to stick with and one to go with moving forward. But the big story today is the developing story of Corey Sutton trying to get his release to transfer from K-State. He went to Twitter to really bring this all to the forefront for everybody yesterday with some pretty emotionally charged tweets. He was very frustrated that not only was his release denied, but his appeal was denied. That's what he found out yesterday. I did have a chance to speak with him earlier today. I'll play you that in just a moment. K-State's side of the story here, from everything we've gotten, which has come just from one Bill Snyder quote in talking with a radio station in Kansas City, A10WHB. Bill Snyder said, "I've always said a youngster is free to leave, but I'm not going to release him. It doesn't mean he can't go someplace else and play. He can certainly do that." That quote started with, "It's my commitment that once we have signed the youngster, we're committed to him as long as he behaves himself." So it's a fairly standard policy, as we've outlined here, from what we can tell in the past with transfers, that K-State is going to typically deny the release if somebody is trying to go. Now, anything beyond that, I reached out to K-State twice. I got literally nothing back on their side of the story, so all we have to go with is what Bill Snyder, again, told A10WHB in Kansas City. I would assume that most of you by now have read more or less Corey Sutton's side of the story, which came out in the Wichita Eagle yesterday, the article from Kellis Robinette, who did a good job scooping everybody on that. He got the first word there from Corey Sutton. From what I can tell in all the articles that have been written about it since and what Corey Sutton told me, I think he's more or less told us all the same story, the same parts of the story. He wanted to make sure a few things got cleared up today in talking to the second wave of all of us. I will just tell you right now, being completely transparent here, I'm going to play about 2.5 minutes of the conversation that I had with him. I talked to him for a while, and I just deemed that some of it I thought would be reckless to put out there, just because I think you can use your best judgment to tell that some of it you have to consider that it is coming from, I was calling it earlier to you, quote-unquote, a jilt to the lover here. You have somebody who is upset in the moment. I deem that some of that stuff probably shouldn't really be used. It has been out there anyway, so I suppose you can go read it, you can go find it. But I stuck to here the main parts of why he wanted to leave, what he wanted to get cleared up about the academic standing that he was in when he left, and just the situation that he now finds himself in with the release not being granted. I tried to keep it much more to the nuts and bolts of all that with what I am going to actually use here on air.
Right. There's a big difference between the facts of the story and how the story is presented when you're using some of the terminology that he was using. So I definitely agree with what you're saying there. And as we've come to find out over the course of this afternoon in the last 24 hours, it's not a situation that has been limited to Corey Sutton. This has been something that has happened within K-State's program before. It just is coming more into the public eye with this case than it has certainly in the last 4 or 5 years.
All right, so Corey Sutton here, first things first, started off with he wanted to address where he was academically when he left K-State. I was among those that even tweeted yesterday when we were first finding out about all this. I read the quote that said that Corey Sutton had dropped some classes on his way out. So that led me to think, all right, well, if he did drop classes for his spring semester and that therefore affects his GPA, which affects the APR, that can start to become a case for not releasing him, because it's going to, you know, if you're not leaving a good academic standing, that's one of the factors outlined there in the student athlete handbook. That was not the case. So here is his clarification on where everything was academically when he left.
See, I ended the spring semester with a 3.0. And then what I was saying was I dropped my future classes for the spring and the fall because I told Bill Snyder I was leaving, and we were on the same page. We were on the same page while I was out there. people were thinking that I dropped my class that I was in, and they were thinking that that's why he had a reason to hold me or something, but no.
So you did, I mean, you left in good academic standing all the way around then?
Yeah, completely. I made sure that I finished every corner, I left with no stone unturned. I finished two out of my three semesters there, I had 3.0.
Well, tell me, just to, this will be backtracking a little bit for you, but just tell me how basically things got to this point.
The main reason I wanted to come back closer to my family was a big part of it. Like, I have two little sisters that are real young, and they're growing up, and I have a little brother, and I wasn't able to go home for like over 7 months. So when I came back home, they were all growing up, you know. It's just like, you know, it's hard for me to be away from my family for 8 months at a time. I want to see my little sister grow up and be a part of that. Also, I'm pretty sure you read the article when I told them that, you know, I wanted to play significantly if I was going to burn my red shirt because I didn't want to waste a year. And, you know, it ended up not happening like that. And so, you know, I wanted to go somewhere where I could use my red shirt and then train harder, be mentally ready and actually play my sophomore year, because right now, when I left, I was third string on the depth chart, and I'm like, okay, I played as a true freshman, but now I'm third string. And you know what I mean? So it's just like, it wasn't the best fit for me. And I wasn't angry until they just kept denying it. And I tweeted the stuff yesterday just to bring some attention to it, even though in the heat of the moment, I shouldn't have used the term slave master. What I meant by that, I meant that he was holding me there as if I was his property, not that he's racist or that he treated us like, that he treated me like a slave or anything. I'm just saying that he's trying to hold me there against my will.
Have you been talking with or hearing from other schools that you would potentially want to go to?
No, I'm not allowed to talk to anybody. Like, I can't get recruited at all. Yesterday was the last step in my process. I already appealed the process of getting denied. And I'm supposed to be in school right now, but I'm not in any classes. I don't. The place where I was living, all my furniture is in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I live. Like, I'm completely gone. And I told them that yesterday, like, and the only thing that happens when they denied it is, like, I had to pay for school, but it's like, y'all just making a burden on me for no reason. Like, I'm already gone, literally gone.
All right, so there is the part of the conversation I had with Corey Sutton that I wanted to make sure did see the light of day on the airwaves. I mean, I'll say this. He admitted there that the wording of the tweets was probably not a great way to go about it yesterday. It was a heat-of-the-moment thing for him. He did, though, accomplish what he set out to, which was draw attention to his situation by doing so. Everything before the appeal is denied and he becomes emotional was pretty standard here in what happens in a lot of these cases. He came in thinking that the wide receiver core was going to be more like it was in 2015. K-State then wound up finding Carlos Strickland. They found Byron Pringle. They were just trying to upgrade the receiver position, bring in as much talent as they can. To me, on both sides, all fair play. Him being somewhat disappointed in his playing time, I think it's fair for him to have that thought and opinion. I also think it's fair of K-State to go out and continue to recruit talent. This is big-time Division I football. You got to do what you got to do. Where everything starts branching out from that then is denying the release, and that takes us to the bigger picture here. And just to recap from hour one of the show, I hate that Corey Sutton is in this position. I think that sucks, and it's terrible that this happens to kids. But the bigger problem here to me is the NCAA, the structure of everything, the way that this is set up, how the schools have so much more leverage. K-State is just playing by the rules that are set there for the NCAA, looking out for their best interest and trying not to set a precedent here on letting kids leave too early or leave too easy. Is really the better way to phrase that. And I think the big issue here is the NCAA. I mean, another thing he went on to say, and I'm like, look, what can I say to dispute this? Coach can leave at any point in time, no penalty, go coach somewhere the next year. The player does not have that same leeway. They, one, have to sit out a year if they're going to transfer somewhere, and then they're at the mercy of the schools to release them. The difference there is pretty staggering and pretty unfair. I don't like it at all. But that goes all the way to the top with the NCAA.
I think that when you're calling college football a business, it's accurate, but it's also twofold. You can look at it in the sense of what you were talking about with Corey Sutton toward the beginning of that, with what his coaches were telling him about his playing time, and you know you're going to come in and have a chance to start. And it is unfortunate if he got that vibe when it didn't turn out to be true. But as a business, as a college football team, you are going to do whatever it takes to win games, and you're going to put the players out there that you think have the best chance of helping you win games. So from that standpoint, I understand. I sympathize with Corey Sutton being frustrated by it, but I definitely understand where K-State's coming from. The other side of that coin, when you're talking about college football being a business, is what you were just talking about, the NCAA having probably way too much control over college athletes, what they can do, what they can say, where they can acquire money from, et cetera, et cetera. And those are the real issues here that I think this specific case is going to dig into a lot more.
And I have yet to really hear what I would think is a very compelling argument on the other side of the NCAA in this. The fact that coaches can move freely, uproot, and players are not able to do so with the same freedoms. I suppose you could throw back at me, hey, show me the rules, I'll play the game. You do know what you're getting into. You're signing that letter of intent that the schools do have that power. So I would grant you that. I mean, Corey Sutton, to an extent, knew what he was getting into. But I think if we all just try and use some common sense here, you can pretty much pick out that the system is flawed in this way. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Before we break and get to Bruce Weber coming up, let's talk with Ryan in Manhattan. What's your take on the Corey Sutton story?
Well, you know, it's more so than even Corey Sutton. I look at it this way. Let's look at the prestige of the university, such as Kansas State versus, let's say, an Alabama or an LSU or somebody that's notoriously, you know, a great team. With this transferring in and out and things of that nature, how long is it going to be before you find teams like K-State? I mean, you had Jordy Nelson that came in. If they're able to transfer in and out, and I use Jordy Nelson, for example, because he became, a darn good receiver for Green Bay, and he was darn good in college. What happens if a team like Alabama or LSU, maybe they're having an issue with their receiving corps 1 year, and, you know, granted, they're going to be able to recruit pretty much whoever they want. But how long till these kids decide, these college athletes, men, decide that, hey, you know what, I can go to Alabama and win a national championship, or Clemson, or LSU, and my name is bigger out there. You know, there's more NFL teams drafting out of this area than here, or whatever it might be. I just don't want to see the smaller schools, the schools that, I don't know how to say it. I don't want K-State or teams like that to become a farm club for the big schools, the USCs, and teams of that nature. And I just think by making them pay their way, so to speak, you know, to penalize them, because what's going to happen when these guys start transferring wherever the heck they want?
Well, sure. I mean, that is – I should have mentioned that when I was saying. I mean, that is the typical pushback on here, the other side of the story with these kids. But would you at least concede that if you're looking at it from a player's perspective, you can understand how you would be very disenchanted by the way that is all set up?
Well, sure. You know, I understand both sides. But to be on the university side, that would be my argument for K-State is, look, I don't want to bring in a Jordy Nelson and see him walk to, you know, whoever the next year when the whole world sees, hey, man, this guy's good.
Yeah, well, hey, I agree with you to an extent. I definitely respect that opinion. I would also push back with, like we're talking in Corey Sutton's case here, they bring him in telling him he'll have a chance to play. He thinks he's going to have a chance to play. Well, the school, justifiably so, can look out for themselves, recruit Byron Pringle, recruit Carlos Strickland. All of a sudden, he's recruited over. The school has gone out and acted in its best interest. The program has. Now the kid can't do the same by, if he is in that type of position, Ryan, like you said, he can't watch out for his best interest then to go wherever he wants to go.
Appreciate you guys taking my call. It's a messy situation.
Yeah, no, I agree. There are not perfect solutions here, Ryan. I appreciate the phone call.
I do really like the comparison of, he didn't use exactly these words, but basically some of these other Power 5 schools becoming Alabama's AAA club or something like that. You know, it can. I don't think that it would be quite that cut and dry. I don't think you're going to have Nick Saban basically in season recruiting other Power 5 schools or something like that, but you can see where that would be a concern for programs like K-State and other Power 5 programs.
Again, K-State's acting within the rules here. They are playing by the rules with what they are doing. But the whole structure, again, is set up to give the schools really more power here. They can recruit over a kid. They can bring in more talented kids. You get pushed down the depth chart and can't play. But if you do play your way into being a star, you don't have the power to go do what you want to do. You're a coach. You coach your way into being a coaching star. You can go leave wherever you want, no penalty. There's just so much more leverage, more power given to the coaches, given to the schools here, than there are to the players that are really fueling this multi-million dollar, billion dollar industry that is college football. We'll step aside from all this talk to chat with Bruce Weber next. And on conference schedule is out. We asked Drew Spiraw a couple weeks ago about scheduling Wichita State. We'll see if Bruce Weber thinks Wichita State could be on the schedule soon. You're listening to The Game.